Hey guys, it's Alfredo.
And this is Brian.
And this is Film Purgatory. So thank you guys so much for joining us this week. This week we're going back to roots.
Going back to childhood.
Yeah. These are childhood remakes. Old franchises. Popular franchises.
Still very popular, yeah. Still going strong.
Some going strong. I don't know about the other one.
The Turtles?
I think so.
Don't they have like a cartoon?
I have no idea. I don't know about these episodes. We're talking about Power Rangers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Arguably the most influential cartoons for a young boy or girl who's into getting into animated or, I don't know, what is that, like live action?
Yeah.
First live action shows.
Yeah, pretty much. At least with Power Rangers, it's always been live action. Although, whenever you watch it, you kind of see how cringe it is, and you kind of wonder how has it survived being this cringe. And right. I don't know. But it's very popular amongst the kids. I know when I was a kid, I was in love with it. I love the drama, even though now I can't. Like I couldn't watch it.
I love Kimberly.
Well, that's the original. Yeah, that's the original crush.
Yeah.
But at least the turtles, to me, the turtles were never that cringe. Turtles were just cool. Cool little rat. Cool little turtles with a rat sensei that adopted them. I don't know. It was less cringe. Power Rangers now is unwatchable. Not the movie, though. Just the show. Like the, you know, the runtime of the.
That's a good point, actually. So we're going to be talking about two specific movies, remakes. I would say like the most recent remakes of each of these franchises. When we're talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in 2014 and Power Rangers from 2017.
Yeah.
Now, these are very popular franchises. Starting off with the Turtles, just a little history on the Turtles. They were developed in 1983 by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. I might be saying that wrong. I'm sorry, Peter. Don't sue me. But it's funny because Kevin Eastman, he made a joke. He was making this joke of a turtle on its hind legs holding nunchucks. And it was just a joke. So Peter Laird, he decided to further develop that, and it turned into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So what they did is that they started a studio, Mirage Studios. And it's the Mirage Studios because it was actually Peter's living room. It wasn't a studio at all. So they used Eastman's $500 tax return. I think Peter emptied his bank account, which was $200. And they borrowed like $1,300 from their uncle to print 3,000 copies of the first copy or the first issue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I think they made a profit of about $200.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're talking about maybe 30, 40 years later almost. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is one of the most popular animated shows of all time.
Absolutely.
It's great. It's Turtles.
And the fact that it has, you know, not that we're going deep into the older ones, but just a quick mention, because we're talking about 30 years ago.
Right.
So that this became quickly popular.
Right.
Enough to make, what, how many of those original films were there? It's a handful, two or three.
There was three original films, and the most recent remake in 2014, and even that one has a sequel.
Yeah, it's from 2016.
There is also two animated ones, because I believe the Turtles, the first three Turtle movies, they were live action. So it had like that cheesy 1990 feel where it's like these, I wouldn't even say it's animatronics. I think it's just like a costume.
Yeah, I think it was costumes.
It was pretty funny. But as they developed, they started getting a little bit more complex. But of course, we're talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2014. And that one was directed by Jonathan Liebsman. You guys might remember Jonathan. He was the one who directed Wrath of the Titans. He directed Battle Los Angeles.
Plenty of action there.
Mm.
Battle Los Angeles. If I remember correctly, is that the one where it's like an alien invasion? With Michelle Rodriguez, the Fast and the Furious girl.
Yeah, I feel like she's in, like, when it comes to, like, invasions or stuff like that, she's always involved.
Yeah, well, also with the Resident Evil films. That's right.
It's like...
So, like, apocalypse stuff.
It's like, she's
so, it's either person. Cars or apocalypse.
She was an Avatar, too, for some reason.
She was. So weird.
This girl's weird.
Weird filmography.
Yeah.
Weird filmography. Well, the Turtles, the one we'll be focused on right now is the 2014 and 2016 films, directed by Jonathan, like you said, Liebsman, produced by Michael Bay. And he was, I think, the main name on the film, because usually it's the director.
Right.
But this one, Michael Bay was the one being pushed. Like, that was the big name. Oh, you know, producers of Transformers, right? And who did we have in this film? Megan Fox. So they had to, I think they had those big names and the faces to attract a little bit of attention. They really needed to. Michael Bay is not a cheap producer / director. This film had a budget of between $125 to $150 estimated million dollars, and they grossed almost $500 million. So it definitely turned a profit, even with marketing included and all that. Although the second film, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows from 2016, didn't have as great of a ratio in terms of gross revenue to budget. They had a $135 million budget and about $245 million in box office. And I believe the critical response wasn't as great as for the first movie. So after this, they kind of just fell off hard. No, they, you know, there was never anything planned. Currently, there's a reboot, you know, but no continuation of this franchise. Oh, sorry, of this canon, of this universe. How do I put that?
I think what really stood out was the fact that for the first time, the turtles were CGI. It wasn't a costume like it was in the 90s. It wasn't animated like it was in 2007. But it was actual CGI, and it made the turtles look real.
Yeah.
It was cool, and like you did mention, Michael Bay was really pushed on this, and it felt like a Michael Bay film.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or like explosions. Sure. But I don't know. I think what really stood out to me was how the turtles looked, and I gotta say, it wasn't that bad initially. It looked pretty cool.
It did look good. I for certainly loved the way the turtles looked. I had no problem with the design, or just the CGI in general. I thought it was good.
It was pretty good.
I would say very good continuity with the Transformers films.
Oh yeah.
With great explosions, great action, mixed with the CGI. It did not look choppy at all. It didn't look bad quality. The opposite. You felt the budget was worth it. In my opinion, I enjoyed that much. However, story was never really there. It felt almost like they're trying their best to make it another Transformers, but instead of humans and bots, it's just turtles.
Right.
That's kind of how I felt with the big city and the turtles flying around the city. It's just, I don't know. Very, very cookie cutter. Unfortunately, that's what hurt this film the most. I'm talking about specifically the 2016 film. This one, they included Stephen Amell, and I remember because he's very famous for Arrow at the time. This is 6 years ago, but
yikes.
But he was very big for Arrow. Arrow was one of my favorite shows when it first came out. Fell off really hard, along with The Flash, unfortunately. But I think the biggest difference was Liebsman, was that his name?
Jonathan Liebsman, yes.
Jonathan Liebsman didn't direct this one. And I think maybe that might have been the biggest difference. Could have been.
The second one?
Yeah.
He did not direct the second one?
No, the second one was directed by Dave Green.
Okay.
He made his directorial debut with a film in 2014 called Earth to Echo.
I heard
that
about
really familiar.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that. Earth Echo.
But the worst part about all this is that aside from the turtles, that's all he's done.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. So he did that. Then he did the Out of the Shadows. And Out of the Shadows was so bad, he hasn't done anything since.
My man's retired.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And the worst part is that he's young. The dude is 38.
It's not
so,
it, bro.
Yeah.
It's not it.
Jeez. He does have something TBA. To be announced. Coyote versus Acme. Might be a
like a Looney Tunes thing?
Yeah. It might be a, what is it called? An animated film, though.
Hey.
Still, I think that resume alone, given everything I've said, I would say he takes most of the blame for the fall. Because for some reason, they couldn't get the same director. Although Michael Bay was still a part of it. I'm not sure if Michael Bay felt, as long as, you know, maybe his ego told him, as long as he was a part of it, they could still have the same success.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. It's Michael Bay. You don't really know what to expect with this guy.
Yeah. Well, except for explosions.
Explosions, yes.
Again, one thing that was the same, cool villain, that was never an issue in terms of a Splinter. The CGI, never a problem.
Splinter or Shredder?
Excuse me, Shredder. Right. Sorry. Splinter's the rat.
Yeah.
But that's really all it was. It just felt very bland. It felt like a diet version of the first one.
Mm.
Just the dialogue was a little more cringe. I know because I said that before, but I'll say with this film,
it was even worse.
I would say it was worse. Yeah.
Yikes.
Obviously, that's a writing issue, but in the end, director takes the blame. Just how they take the credit.
Right. Yeah, as it should be, honestly.
Because you can't blame the voice actors for the CGI turtles. Right.
Yeah, that's kind of bad. Going on to Power Rangers. So just a little history on the Power Rangers, just like we did on the Turtles. Power Rangers are an American entertainment / merchandising franchise built around a live-action superhero show that was in turn based on a Japanese tokusatsu show. Tokusatsu means live-action using practical special effects, which is what we get when we get Power Rangers.
Yes.
That show, in turn, was called Super Sentai.
I've done a lot of research over the years of reading into like the differences between the Japanese and the American version.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, even though we take a lot of footage from the Japanese,
mm-hmm.
we do leave out a lot of crucial stuff. They're a little more violent over there. They get away a little more. I also believe the dialogue is a complete 180 from what I've heard,
mm-hmm.
which is why it's so popular over there. It's unfortunate because it should be better.
Right, you would think so. You would think so. But actually, Super Sentai is actually still broadcasting. It's been broadcasting since 1977.
Yep.
46 seasons. That's crazy.
Yep.
Might be the last one, though.
Really?
Yeah. After this season, might be the last one.
That's sad.
Yeah. Maybe the dialogue is just... You imagine 46 seasons of bad dialogue?
I mean, look at the current Power Rangers. We still got Power Rangers going on here.
I mean, it's designed for kids. I don't know.
Yeah, true.
But in total, the Power Rangers have 28 different shows. Don't quote me on this one because I'm getting conflicting information. Some say 26, some say 13. I'm not sure. I counted 28 different shows, which would include some of the more popular ones. Mighty Morphin, Time Force,
right.
Wild Force. My nephew was really into this like a couple years ago. Dino Thunder. I know you like dinosaurs. I had to mention that.
That was my brother, Anthony, who loved Dino Thunder.
Dino Thunder, yeah. Too much.
Because you had Tommy. The original Green Ranger, he was the black / gold, was it? Or just black? And he had the huge black dinosaur. And he was also the mentor for the other three. So he was still a part of the franchise,
Jesus.
Which is really special.
Let it go, bro.
What?
Man, Tommy still?
Yeah, but no, well, at the time he was young. Because Dino Thunder is a little old now. But he was still relatively young. I think he even started at one point an MMA career.
Jesus.
Not sure it went too well for him. But
yeah.
But, you know, he was around, and it was nice to see, you know, like, he was still doing stuff martial arts related, because as a kid, I love, you know, that was my thing.
Mm.
So to see this guy still involved, you know, not just with the show, but in martial arts in general, I thought it was pretty cool to see. So, yeah, that's why Dino Thunder, in my opinion, had a big impact and was very popular, because you had the OG Ranger in the show.
You also had 11 movies and hundreds of thousands of toys. A lot of toys. Remember, Power Rangers is an entertainment / merchandising company. They're not making the money out of the shows. No, they're making the shows to sell their toys. Which is why a lot of these franchises just stop doing it. Because when they stop making money off of their toys, then just they cancel it. And I'm guessing that's why a lot of good shows just stop.
That was part of the reason for the movie not getting a sequel.
Yes, that's a real big shame.
Which kind of,
sad. But going into the actual movie from 2017, action / sci-fi film, this movie was directed by Dean Israelite. Now, funny tidbit on Dean, he directed Project Almanac, and he's also cousins with Jonathan Liebesman.
Oh, that's funny.
It is.
Oh, that's funny how that works.
Cast on this one is actually pretty stacked. Dacre Montgomery. I looked this up. His name is Dacre.
Yeah, I remember. He's from Stranger Things as well.
He's Billy.
Billy.
Billy. Naomi Scott. She's in Aladdin.
I love her.
She's also in the Charlie's Angels movies.
I love her.
With Elizabeth Banks, who's also in this movie.
Like her.
She's in Zack and Miri Make a Porno.
I remember that.
That was a forgettable film. Becky G's in this one.
I love her too.
She's cool. Mommy, you like Mommy? That's a song. That's her most popular song.
Oh, I don't listen to her music. I like the way she looked in this film. That's all I'm saying.
Bryan Cranston.
Of course, we all love Bryan Cranston.
Breaking Bad. Godzilla. If you haven't seen it, watch Godzilla. And also Godzilla. For very little. Like, he should have been more involved. Now. Like, he was...
He should have.
Hmm.
Especially the way they marketed the film.
Yeah, with him. David Denman. I'm mentioning this. I know you don't know the name, but I'm mentioning this because he's an Office alumni. What's up? Watch The Office.
What did he, like, who did he play?
He was Roy, Pam's fiance.
No, in the Power Rangers movie.
Oh, he was the dad. Doesn't matter. He's from The Office.
I meant... He played the Red Ranger's dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. So, story on this one's pretty basic. It's a pretty basic startup story. Just like they did with the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Correct.
Five ordinary teens, they find ancient coins that represent a team meant to protect the universe from evil forces. That's the most general you can get.
Yeah.
As vague as you can get.
But I like it because it's true to the Power Rangers roots.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. There's nothing more complex in this franchise. But basically, they're guided and trained by Zordon, the leader of the previous Power Ranger team, the team that was betrayed by the Green Ranger, which was turned evil. She wanted, I guess, all that power for herself.
Yeah.
Rita Repulsa. What type of bad guy name is Repulsa?
Repulsive.
She is repulsive. She looked pretty busted.
Yeah. But I like that name. I've always liked that name, Rita Repulsa. It's like, because it's cringe, but it's, I don't know, it's that's an evil name, Rita Repulsa.
Mm.
Rita, like, imagine, like, can you marry a girl named Rita?
I don't think I've ever met someone named Rita.
But imagine. And her favorite drink was margaritas.
I need to find someone named Rita.
Yeah,
pretty cool. It looked pretty badass. In my opinion, I might be a little bit biased on this one. I remember when, you know, you had mentioned this years ago. This movie coming out, I was pretty hyped about it. Everybody was. Like, just the announcement themselves, I think it was played over 80 million times.
Yeah.
Huge. The advertisement, everyone was hyped about this movie. And unfortunately, it did not get that great of a review.
Even though it made a profit.
It made a profit.
That was what really, really made me mad. Because I felt like, hey, if we support it, if the fans support it, it should do well enough.
Right.
You know? But then, you know, at the time, I wasn't aware that how much they factor in the toy sales and the reach, the outreach to the kids. And, you know, they take into a lot of things into consideration when it comes to future projects. I realize that now.
Mm.
So it's kind of sad. But really, man, at the time, I was so excited because we left that theater thinking, bro, we're about to have a huge MCU-like universe.
Right.
With different Rangers. And they even had a lot of fan service Easter eggs.
Big time.
They mentioned Angel Grove. They mentioned...
Which was part of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Correct. They mentioned Mariner Bay, which was from Lightspeed Rescue. It was one of the big ones I watched growing up. So when they said it in the movie, it clicked. They're going to expand it. It was so exciting.
Mm.
They even showed... what's his name? Tommy and Kimberly made a little cameo appearance. Very, very brief.
Right.
But it was just so exciting, you know. And the movie looked fantastic. The acting was actually good. The dialogue was not cringe at all. On the contrary, the movie was much darker than we expected. Although we did have some insider reports that were already saying that. So we knew. But we didn't think going in, you know, when we first heard of the announcement, that it was going to be this dark or this serious. You know, it was very non-childish at all.
Right.
I felt it was as realistic as can be for five teenagers. Some not so typical. One lives, you know, in a van or some trailer because his mom is sick, and the other one's like a reject. You know how it
right,
is.
Right.
Like, they're not the typical teenagers, but I felt it was much more relatable than the cringe TV show that's for like 5-year-olds.
Unfortunately, that would be its downfall. Its tone of the movie would be its downfall. It seemed like it was pretty obvious this movie wasn't meant for children. It was a fan service for the OG adults, the OG fans, which would be the older generations. And we loved the movie. It was great. The problem is, because we're older, we're not buying these toys.
Yeah.
The toy sales did not pan out. Unfortunately, we're the ones that suffered because what could have been. This movie would have been great. The casting was done very well.
It was.
I can't overlook some of the plot armor in this one. There were some faults. This movie was not perfect in any way. It looked great, looked fantastic, and it's just a shame. It's just a real big shame because there were a lot of Easter eggs, and man, what could have been? But it is what it is. I don't remember. Did these guys join together in this one? They got the to fight Goldium, right? They got like this.
You saying the Zord?
Yeah, they got that.
Yeah, because their Zords all came together.
They actually so they had the giant thing that was so fucking badass.
Yeah, that was one of the best scenes because you had I think it was Stronger by Kanye West start playing.
Mm.
And it was like the scene was just perfect because it was you had Kimberly with the pterodactyl flying around and everybody was using their Zords. It felt like a Power Rangers movie,
right?
But for us, it did its job. You know what I'm saying? And it was exactly what I wanted, plus more.
Mm.
And then to top it off, we had the after credit scene.
With the new Green Ranger
with the green jacket, and they were like, "Oh, Tommy, whatever." And it's like, "Yo, it was obviously it wasn't too much of a mystery to figure out. Okay, they're gonna introduce the Green Ranger, bro." So the fact that it was just canceled, they never wanted to continue, that broke my heart so much. So, oh man, this movie was good.
It was good.
It was really good.
IMDb gave it a 5.9. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 51%. That's wild to me.
I'm not too worried about the Rotten Tomatoes. The IMDb, however, I would like to know why. Because if you tell me if it's a lot of parents upset that, it wasn't really for kids. Like, it's a PG-13 rating. You know, that's like the parents who took their kids to go see Deadpool.
Right.
It's rated R. What are you expecting? It's PG-13. Okay, if it was G, PG, you know what to expect. It's a little bit of common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if the people are rating it low because it wasn't as kid-friendly, all right, then I could understand. But if it was a general, just people were not a fan of it, fans were just not happy with it, then I would be really confused. Like, what did you like about it?
Right.
If you're an OG fan, you're older, you're at least, let's say, higher teens, early 20s, what did you not like about it? I want to know what brought that rating so low. Because to me, it was a solid 8. I felt it was an 8.
Solid films. I think Paramount Plus has some of these. I think it has Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know if they have Power Rangers. I bought mine on Vudu.
Nice.
You can rent it for like $2.99 or you can buy it for like $3.99.
The Power Rangers movie?
The Power Rangers movie, so.
I may buy it out of support.
I just bought it.
And rewatch it.
Right.
I never rewatched it.
No?
I don't think so.
I rewatched it and it's badass, dude. I liked it.
It's as good as you remember, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nice. Now I'm going to go home and watch.
It gets me sad though because it's like, man.
Don't get me sad now.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go and rewatch it. And tomorrow, I'm going to wake up, watch football.
There you go.
And do a football. But I'm going to be crying myself to sleep because I'm not going to continue. You know what? I'm going to do research.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do research.
You do that.
I want to see who wants to pick up a Power Rangers film.
Let's do it.
I actually wanted to give a quick shout out before we wrap this episode up. There is a page on Instagram called Unworthy Productions. It's the home of hashtag Power Rangers Unworthy.
Mm.
They actually make a whole series on YouTube of adult Power Rangers, as in rated R Power. Like, there's blood, there's killing, there's serious topics.
Nice.
Pretty gruesome scenes. Like, there's one where the Black Ranger is going off on a group, like the warehouse scene in Batman versus Superman. He's going off and they're shooting at him, and like the bullets are just, because it's a real suit.
Right.
Not no bullshit.
Nice.
The bullets are just ricocheting off of him. Like, some dude goes up to him, I remember, shoots him in the head, and the bullet like bounces off and kills the dude. It's a show. Like,
damn,
it's a groove, right?
That's really
and
cool.
It looks cool. Unfortunately, you have to wait a while because it's a small team, so they take their time doing each episode.
Right.
But the quality and the time, the effort that they put in, man, they deserve their flowers.
Top tier.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Check it out if you're interested.
Where can you
YouTube
watch that?
YouTube.
Very cool.
Follow them on Instagram, but the show is uploaded on YouTube.
Nice. YouTube Premium, what's up? Brian, I don't know if you saw anything, but I did see Wakanda Forever yesterday.
It came out?
It came out Thursday.
Oh, how was it?
Yeah. I feel like this movie was a tribute.
Okay.
This entire movie is a tribute.
Can't be mad at that. I guess I understand.
So as you guys know, the Black Panther was played by Chadwick Boseman. Unfortunately, he passed away. I think it was two years ago, 2020.
Yeah.
So, after his passing, his character, Black Panther, was up in the air. They didn't know what to do. So I feel like this movie was a big tribute to Chadwick.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it looked great. I really like the villain in this movie. I don't even know if he's a villain. I think the main antagonist in this film was great. Namor was great.
I like his design a lot. He's a cool looking hero.
He's really cool.
He's the Marvel equivalent of Aquaman.
Of Aquaman, exactly. It looked nice. I just don't know if the story holds up as well. First of all, this movie's 2 hours and 41 minutes long.
Woo!
Way too long. There was
cringe jokes.
There were some cringe jokes. There was like a couple of funny jokes, but there was way too many scenes that were not necessary in this movie. And unfortunately, a lot of those scenes did have to do with trying to give credit or trying to bring up Chadwick's character, the old Black Panther. And it's like, at some point, I get paying homage to your previous character, and I get what they did here. You know, they addressed the elephant in the room straight on. They went straight for it. And it's like, okay, we get it. He's gone. We're sad, but this is what we're going to do. But at some point, it's just like, man, you bring him up way too much. It's almost like you're using him as a cripple to try to further this new character. I'm not going to mention who the character is. So you guys are probably going to get spoiled of it. But I don't know. It didn't do that that well as far as the story, in my opinion. The end credit scene was just not worth it. It just seemed very forced. As bad as it seems, it almost seems like they're trying to profit off of this. They're trying to exploit someone's passing, and they're trying to make some money off of it.
Ouch.
It's almost sad. The worst part about it is because it's a tribute film, you cannot badmouth it. Because
it's a tribute film.
It's a tribute film. Right. That's why if you look up the ratings, people are loving it, because you're kind of forced to.
Yeah, I get you.
You got to be a real asshole to talk bad about it. But hey, I'm a real asshole, so
we're doing it.
It's not that great of a film. Honestly, I'd give it a 6 out of 10. Nothing special out of this world, aside from its visual effects. Fantastic. It looked really good.
Because Marvel recently had been a little slacking with the visual effects.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they... I may watch it just for the visual effects, but I'm not a fan of the runtime.
The runtime is just... It's killer. It's killer to me. It's the story's all over the place. And if I'm being honest with you, I'm not too convinced on this new Black Panther. It just did not fit the profile. And the end credit scene is just... It just kind of kills the new...
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. It'll make sense once you see it.
I still gotta see Shazam.
That's right. Black Adam?
Yeah, Black Adam, yeah.
Yeah.
My fault.
So, you know, hey, it's out in theaters. Watch it, don't watch it. I'm not really sure. Moment of silence for Chadwick Boseman. There we go. Brian, next week.
Next week. More childhood?
I would go into
animated
childhood.
We're gonna cover The Iron Giant, a film, a beloved film for Alfredo and I.
Fantastic film.
And El Dorado, a very fan favorite amongst all of our generation.
Oh yeah,
I believe
one of the best. I gotta say, this episode coming up is gonna be really good. I'm really excited about this one.
It should be.
But that's gonna do it, guys. We really appreciate all the support and all the feedback. If you like today's episode or have ideas for future episodes, please get in contact with us. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Our username is filmpurgatory or film_purgatory.
And please remember to turn on all notifications on streaming services so you know as soon as we drop the latest episode.
Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you
next week.